All right, 7:56, John J. Rich, Arizona's morning show. We're in the middle of a contest called Who Do You Know? We're wrapping it up in about an hour and a half, so celebrities are calling in nonstop. We also have Don and John who are going to review movies for us. They're on the line. Hi, Don and John.
This is Tom Cruise calling for Don and John.
Hey, you guys, I know you've been holding for a long time. You've been holding for a long time, but we have to put you back on hold because we have a couple more celebrities we got to get to.
Just hang tight.
All right, now, go to line one. This is spectacular. Line one, what's your name? Why do we know you, sir?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yeah! That's huge!
Chuck D, Public Enemy number
that
one.
Is huge!
Hey, it might not be Flavor of Love right now, but you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Huge!
Chuck
wow.
D.
I think that Public Enemy was, that was Rick Rubin produced, right?
He Rick produced. Rick Rubin was the owner of the label. We produced it.
Okay,
but,
okay.
You know, he's always a cool cat with me.
Right. I remember when I first heard Public Enemy, I think I was scared. I think I was really scared.
Well, the PHX means a lot to me. I go back, you know, with Barkley, you know?
Yeah, oh, wow. Yeah.
Now it's Stoudemire and Steve Nash. So. Yeah. Pardon me on that.
That's huge. You got a fax coming through or something, Chuck D?
I'm in New York, so, you know, we're a little later than you guys.
Hey, Chuck
yeah,
D.
Yeah, but my friend, formerly Sheila Wilson, she's Sheila Jackson. She's in the PHX, and I had a crush on her in high school for years.
Oh, man. Yeah,
I mean, from fourth grade on up to 12, but, you know, I guess she knows it now, but she didn't know it then.
Oh, that's
wow,
huge.
I can't believe
huge.
Chuck D's on the phone, man. I met you one time, actually a couple years, about 9 years ago, backstage at the Grammys, and I was on a payphone, and you walked by, and I go, Chuck D! And you took the phone, and you talked to my friend for a while. You were cool, dude. You are one cool dude, man.
Yeah, I don't believe in VIPs and all that being stuck up attitude.
Yeah, no, that's not you, man. You're just down old normal guy, which, except you have no last name.
Yeah, well, you believe in that.
Are you proud of what hip hop's become over the? Because it is really the new top 40.
You know, we just gotta take care of it and make sure that you know it shows its different flavors of it. You know, what's mainstream, what's underground, it all fits together just like different positions on a basketball court or a baseball field. So you just got to keep it in check and make sure that people get a chance to do it for a long time. If you don't do something for a long time, then what good is it, right?
Right.
You know, so we have our Rolling Stones and our Beatles of that particular genre.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Kanye West and people like Eve, and they're doing their thing today, hey, I tell them, hey, if you're going to do it for a long time, take care of it.
Hey, Chuck T, I want to show my unhipness here real quick. But
okay.
How
can you be on the hip and be on the radio?
That's the only reason I'm on the radio, I think. But listen to this. So I had this friend of mine who's in a band in the PHX called Beats the Hell Out of Me. And
right.
And he would perform. I remember going to see him perform, and he would say, oh, this is a Public Enemy song. And it's a huge Public Enemy song. And,
right.
And while I was listening to Wham, he was listening to Public Enemy. And I can't remember. Was it By the Time I Get to Heaven's Honor?
Oh, no question. 1991.
Yeah. How's that song go?
By the time I get to Arizona.
Yeah, huh? How about that? By the time I get... You guys don't know the
what are you doing with your hands
you
there?
That's what are you trying to have,
what are you doing
like,
with your hands?
Hands over there?
What is that?
I remember...
That wasn't pumping it up. That was
watching,
nothing.
I was watching my friend perform, and I go, that's a great song. He goes, yeah, that's a Public Enemy song. And I was like, oh, that's awesome, man. So then
yeah,
actually,
we performed with U2 and Sun Devil Stadium in 91, and we wouldn't finish our set because you guys didn't have a Martin Luther King holiday yet, but you know, hey, now you guys do.
That was
everything
huge.
Cool.
That was a huge controversy back in the day.
No, it wasn't controversial to me. I just had to make my statement.
And so, what'd you do? You were performing, and you just like threw the mic down and walked off.
Pretty much, did the song and was out.
Dude, Chuck D.
Left
Chuck
it up to
D.
The Cardinals, huh?
That puts your friend at the top of the list, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh yeah.
I heard Tom Cruise was in the back. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Hey, Chuck, can you hold on for a line so we get some in for a time?
Hey, he's got some New York ties, too. We should conference him and see if this is
okay.
Legit.
Chuck, you know, we're doing this contest, and we have this one celebrity keeps calling, and we don't think it's really him.
Oh.
And it's Derek Jeter. Have you ever met Derek Jeter?
Never.
Okay, so we're he's back.
It's hard to tell. You know, hard to tell with sports, with athletes, because you know, you don't really hear them outside the personality of the ball field.
Yeah, you get clips on ESPN, and that's all I really have to judge Derek by. But the last time, I think we had a fake Derek Jeter call in.
Yeah, and now, so that's Derek Jeter's on the phone again, but we don't know if it's really him or not. So we thought maybe if you knew him, you could say, oh, yeah, that is Derek. But because this really is Chuck D. Clearly, you can tell.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. No question.
All right,
you can ask me any question about Public Enemy, and I'll give it to you. Or any question about music.
I will tell you that I played roulette about a month ago with Flava Flav in Vegas.
There you go. I believe that.
Yeah, I was playing roulette with him. He was smoking a cigarette, dressed all in yellow with a huge clock around his neck.
Geez.
Yeah, I was wondering about how he packs clocks for trips. He's got to have like 8 clocks in their own suitcase.
Yeah, and they differ with size. But, you know, when we go over to London, he sometimes is bound to hang off a Big Ben.
Oh,
hey, Chuck D, since we have you on the phone, I'd like to ask you this. Normally, I would ask you this off air, but since we're on the phone, we're a live radio show, and this is some radio business.
What's up, Phoenix?
Yeah, could you cut us a liner, man? Could you say that this is Chuck D and you're listening to John Jay and Rich, Arizona's morning show, PHX?
All right, John Jay and Rich, right?
Yep. It's Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Check this
one.
Out. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one, and I'm checking out John Jay and Rich on the telephone right here. PHX, what's up?
Oh, that's it. That's it. See, put me
He's
out.
Good. He's good.
All right,
He's
Chuck
good.
D, thanks for calling in, man.
All right.
That's a good man, Chuck D. All right, is this Derek Jeter? Let's find out for sure. Is this Derek Jeter?
Yes, it is.
Is this the same guy that called in as Derek Jeter? Or are you really Derek Jeter?
This is Derek Jeter who called in about 3 days ago.
Okay, give me 5 of your teammates.
Oh, my God. Bernie Williams, Randy Johnson, Jorge, Jason, Robinson Cano.
You got to understand, Derek Jeter.
Yeah, we got
Frank. I totally understand where you're coming from. I was telling Chris, I'm like, how do they know, you know, if these celebrities are who they really say they are?
Like you just heard Chuck D. You could tell that's Chuck D.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Did Mr. Jeter, where did you play baseball for what university before you went into the minor leagues?
I was at Michigan in Kalamazoo.
That's him.
Yeah, but if you're a Derek Jeter fan and they're super fans.
Yeah, no,
okay,
I'm listening. He's got that laid-back kind of approach when he talks.
Okay, what's your parents' names?
My parents' names are Ann and William.
Okay, who was the reporter that interviewed you on 60 Minutes?
There was a bunch, actually.
But there was one main guy that hosted the story.
Oh, that was...
Hello?
Hello?
There you go.
What the heck?
I'm telling you, it's not Derek Jeter.
Well, it's annoying now.
We got punked again.
Well,
the
it's
third
like,
time
go away
by Derek
already.
Jeter.
Then he seems like he's frustrated.
It sure sounds like a...
I don't know what the hell.
Boy, that sounds like Derek Jeter.
And you know, Bill and Kathy, boom, that's my parents' names. I don't need none of this.
Yeah, see, that's not Derek Jeter.
No, it's not. Why wouldn't you just give up?
Let me tell you why I know it's not Derek Jeter.
He
do you mind,
have
please?
A Kermit-y. He had more of a Kermit-y voice, though.
Let me tell you why it's not Derek Jeter.
CSI.
Yeah, I'm going to CSI the Derek Jeter Cup again.
Okay.
When 60 Minutes does an interview with you, they come out with a camera and a reporter. That's it. Ed Bradley did the story on Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
I watched the whole thing.
Well, stop telling him, so when he calls back later today.
You would think that Chris, who keeps playing Derek Jeter, and by the way, doing a good job of it.
You know, he had me snowed twice in a row.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't believe this time.
And again, shame on Randy.
No,
the phone screener,
you know what?
Not passing
not
him through.
I don't know.
Totally not Randy's
I really
fault.
Would have put him through.
Yeah.
I would have. I totally
and
would have.
And what would happen at 10:01 if he says, oh, so-and-so called, but I didn't believe him, so I didn't put him through? You guys would kill him.
Sports
so-
is hard. Mm-hmm. Sports is very hard, like Chuck D says, because you don't really – you see him all the time, but it's not like Derek Jeter's talking, okay, well, I think I'm going to let this one go. I'm going to swing at the next one.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they show pictures of him.
But that was Chuck D, though.
Definitely
Chuck D.
Chuck D.
All right, hey, Don and John, movie how are you guys?
We're good. How are you doing?
Are you guys good on time? Can we do you guys next?
Yeah, that's great.
We can actually do them now.
Oh, we can?
We can.
Woo-hoo!
Should
right.
we play a song or anything in between?
No,
we just
we're
did...
good.
Really?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Wow.
Jeez.
You want like a radio break?
No, we're fine.
Hey.
Wow, all right.
We haven't really done
anything. Break.
No. I just don't know if it's a good radio to do 10 different things in one break.
Yeah, we really haven't done anything entertaining yet.
That's the
we did
play
Chuck
a song,
D.
but take the phone off the hook because nobody else calls.
We did Chuck D. We did Derek Jeter, fake Derek Jeter. Then it's kind of like, all right, Don and John, movie critics. I don't know. But if you want to roll with it, let's roll
with
it.
Yeah, now's the time. Now's the time. We can go.
I'm ready.
No, I know we can go. I just don't know if it's great radio.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with you right now?
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Okay, are you okay if we go now?
When you watch a talk show, Jay Leno doesn't bring out 5 of his guests at one time.
Nowhere near Jay Leno.
He brings out a guest. They take a break. The band comes out. They do that. I'm saying
he definitely doesn't talk about whether he's
going
to do it for
God,
an hour.
I'm just saying. I think we should break, but that's cool. Okay. Don and John, what's opening up then?
Alrighty.
Hey, Nanny McPhee and Annapolis are opening up today.
Yay.
Yay.
That's so cute.
He hated both of them, I can tell already.
You think so? Let's see. Hey, you guys remember the movie The Hand That Rocks the Cradle with Rebecca De Mornay playing the naughty nanny?
Yes.
Yeah. That has nothing to do with this movie, but I just like thinking about it.
Great. Okay. So Nanny McPhee takes place in a little English town and is the story of 7 completely out-of-control children being raised by their widower father, Cedric, who's played by Colin Firth, and he definitely needs the help of a nanny. Unfortunately, the children don't want one, so much so that they've just scared off their 17th nanny by pretending they ate the baby. Now, with no nannies willing to help the children, Cedric is desperate. And just before chaos rules the entire household, a mole-covered, cane-carrying, creepy-looking nanny shows up at their doorstep, and it's Nanny McPhee, played by Emma Thompson. And she informs Cedric that she has 5 lessons she needs to teach the children, and she'll stay as long as they need her, but she isn't wanted, and will leave when they want her, but she isn't needed. But Cedric has one more huge problem to deal with. He's financially unable to support his family, so he must find a wife in the next month, so his great-aunt Adelaide, played by Angela Lansbury, will continue to pay for his income, and so he'll keep his home, or he'll lose his children and his house forever. Nanny McPhee uses her special powers to lead the family on a heartening and magical journey where the children are taught life lessons, the nanny reveals her inner beauty, and Cedric finds the love where he least expects it.
With her.
Aww.
With
yeah.
her, right?
He
gets
so
it on
sweet.
With Nanny McPhee.
Exactly. That's what happens.
How do you get past the moles if
no,
you're him?
No, I figured it was like a Shrek type of Fiona.
Actually, not to give away the story, but she gets better looking as the kids act better. So that's kind of the...
Yeah,
and,
oh, it's so cute.
Yeah, to be honest, Don and I both really liked it. I wasn't expecting much, but it's really cute. It's a simple story, but it's done really well. And the 7 children, the 7 actors, are absolutely adorable. And even though they're mm-hmm. English, I can understand what they're saying, which is rare.
they did a great job.
I really like this movie. There's only one issue I had with it. If you're making a children's movie... Would you make the main character, the father, a mortician? This guy's like, just a minute, son. I got to sew this dead guy's eyes shut before we can talk about that. Then it goes back to the Nanny McPhee story, and it's completely out of place.
It bugged John so much, he actually sent Emma Thompson an email to ask her what was
I
up
did.
With
I
that.
I did. I asked Emma Thompson really? What's going on. Yeah, I got a hold of her agent in England and got a word to her, but she hasn't answered me.
Well,
yet,
it actually makes sense. If you think about childhood stories, you've got Little Red Riding Hood about a wolf that's going to kill you and eat you.
Yeah,
you've got Hansel and Gretel, a woman who throws kids in the oven. So why not have the dad be a mortician?
I guess. I mean, it's a good movie. I would take my kids, but that part kind of bugged me.
Well, even in spite of the dead bodies that are laying around every once in a while, on our movie night traffic light, we rate Nanny McPhee a green.
Oh, good.
This
so
is a fun movie
ones,
for
yeah.
everyone. Yeah, yeah. So that one's good. You'll
so we
like
had
it.
The vampire movie last week and Nanny McPhee.
That's a good one to drive in punch if they could put those together.
Exactly.
Nanny McPhee and Underworld.
That's right.
What else?
All right, Annapolis also opens today. And let me ask you guys a quick trivia question. Do you know what Arizona's own Senator John McCain, talk show host Montel Williams, and me, the goofy movie review guy, all have in common, other than we're all white guys?
Sorry, Montel. You're all senators?
Hardly. We're all graduates of the real Annapolis.
Wow.
You know, John, I kind of buy 2 of those being graduates.
Don doesn't believe it, but it's true.
I thought you went to a community college.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
For those of you that aren't familiar, Annapolis refers to the Navy's undergraduate institution, the United States Naval Academy at Annapolis, Maryland, which serves only to take America's best and brightest, like myself, and painfully prepare them morally, mentally, and physically to serve as military officers in defense of our great nation. Among our thousands of distinguished graduates, Annapolis has produced 52 American astronauts, 73 Congressional Medal of Honor winners, 43 Rhodes Scholars, 2 Nobel Prize winners, and, of course, me.
John, I saw this movie, and there's no way you could have gone to Annapolis.
Come on.
What about all that marching with your amazing athletic skills? You could never have pulled that off.
I marched, baby. I marched.
And plus, I've seen you in your day job. You have, little ambition, no self-discipline, and let's face it, you're not really all that smart.
You are harsh, but maybe I just adapt to my environment. And for the record, I work for Honeywell and Goodwill or something.
Okay, so Annapolis is really about Jake Heward, who's played by James Franco, who works with his friends and his father in a shipyard but wants to do something more, and he wants to excel in life and be part of something great. And after visiting his congressman's office for 34 straight days in a row, he's granted a letter of recommendation.
It's actually called the nomination, Don. You have to be nominated by a member of Congress, as I was. Go ahead.
John, you're kind of making my point here. There's no way you could have gone to Annapolis.
You're going to break my mother's heart now.
Anyway, J- Jake gets accepted into the Naval Academy in Annapolis, and immediately he's plunged into a whole new world, a world forged by greatness and grandeur, with every minute of his day filled with physical training, academics, discipline, and occasional mental torture.
The mental torture is actually the very best part. They call it rates because he didn't get the gouge, and he's not a smack. He ends up bilging his classmates in this movie.
Yeah, that didn't sound made up at all.
Telling us the way we talk.
I'm telling you, don't buy it. So Jake struggles between going home to the life he's always known or staying and becoming the man he wants to be. He throws himself into training as a boxer to compete in an upcoming student body championship.
It's the brigade. The student body is called the Brigade of Midshipmen.
Man. Did you see that on some Army-Navy game telecast or something?
I did. Go ahead.
Okay, so turns out his greatest adversary in the movie is his commanding officer named Cole, who is played by Tyrese Gibson. And if all goes according to plan, he will face off with Cole in the ring for the boxing championship. And he enlists the help of an upperclassman named Allie, who, by the way, is played by Jordana Brewster.
Oh,
yeah.
It's just like Demi Moore.
So pretty. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
She's awesome.
And he hooks up with her to help him prepare himself for the fight of his life. And along the way, he finds the willpower to face his demons and pursue his dreams, while the audience gets a rare glimpse into the making of America's greatest resource, our heroes.
And on behalf of all American heroes,
oh,
I'd just like
to... Oh,
please. So funny.
All right. So I admit that I may very well be the William Hung of the Naval Academy, but I did go, and I've been telling buddies and all the hot chicks I can find for years that I'm like a total badass because I went to this place. So I was really excited when the movie was coming out, and then 2 days before we go to the screening, the Naval Academy sends me an email which says, we washed our hands of this thing. We had a big falling out with the producers. We don't know what it's going to look like. So now I'm all ready to be irritated. I figured they're going to portray us as a bunch of gay cowboys or something. But to tell you the truth, this is a really good movie. I was really surprised. Do you hear that it's kind of a cross between An Officer and a Gentleman and Rocky? And it really is. I mean, it's a fairly simple story, but it's told really well. And the boxing scenes are amazing. And the soundtrack is great. I really enjoyed it, and I think Don did too. So
yeah, and of course, John always likes the hot chick in the film.
I totally fell in love with Jordana.
Big surprise.
She is really, really pretty.
Yep.
Yeah.
She is.
What else has she been in?
She's been in that, what is that movie, Debs or something? That's like
she was in the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, Fast and the Furious.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. I think I heard that she may be considered for the new Wonder Woman.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Joss Whedon, who's the director and producer of the upcoming new Wonder Woman, I met with him myself. He told me I was up for that part.
That's right. When we went to the screenwriters conference in L.A., Don asked Joss Whedon, who he created Buffy the Vampire Slayer and all that. He's the guy that's creating Wonder Woman. Asked if she could be Wonder Woman, and he did agree to that.
Yeah, he did.
How cute. I don't know if you're necessarily intimidating.
I can pull it out if I have to.
He committed, so that's what it's going to be.
Okay, and so what I'm about to say, believe it or not, is going to make history. Groundbreaking event. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
On our movie night traffic light, we rate Annapolis a green.
Jeez.
Our second green in the same week. It's never happened before.
Wow.
We've got some good movies
this week.
They're
good movies. Go check them out. These are really good ones.
Yeah.
About time.
Good. I know. We've been waiting, and it finally
happened.
Thank
you, Hollywood.
So Annapolis isn't about a car race.
No.
Annapolis 500. I thought the whole time was about a car race and military people. That's just
so
me.
He didn't go to the academy either, John.
No. All right, you guys. Well,
nice
thank you
job,
very much.
Y'all.
Thank you.
Guys.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Bye-bye.
9:14. You're listening to Arizona's Morning Show.
8:14.
Oh, sorry. 8:14. It's John Jane Ray.